Hey everybody, it's Michelle Fisher and welcome into A View From My Window. As always, I thank you for joining us today. You know, I interview a lot of people that I love on my podcast, and today is no exception. Kim Dotson celebrated her 20th year of working at the Arc of Indiana, and to say she loves what she does every day is an understatement. Every day she brings great passion to what she does. Her job challenges her to be the best she can be, and she always meets that challenge with such grace and dignity. I say these things not as a casual acquaintance, but I say it as an almost 9-year employee. Kim engenders the atmosphere of we work better together, and because of that mindset, it is a joy and pleasure to work here. What brought Kim to work in the disability field? What things help her to keep her outlook positive and refreshing even after 20 years? All this and much more we want answered, and Executive Director Kim Dotson is here to do just that. Well, hello, Kim Dotson.
Hi.
Happy 20th anniversary to you.
Well, thank you. It seems like it has been celebrated for a long time.
Well, I mean, come on. If we can't celebrate 20 years for a long time, then what can we celebrate?
Well, so. And that's true. It's true. It's been quite a blessing.
And you are a wonderful person. Let me tell you that.
That means a lot.
Oh, well, thank you. Let's talk about you for a second, because I want you to tell me where you grew up, kind of what your childhood, your upbringing, and how it helped you maybe to decide to be in advocacy and in the disability field.
Yeah. So I grew up in Kokomo, small town. My mom and dad were both realtors, and my dad, you know, worked in a factory. And so very small town, did not have a strong connection to the disability community. I remember at a very young age, my mom and dad both volunteered for Special Olympics. So they dragged me along. Mom can reflect back and say, you always had lots to say about it. You were always very eager to go, never wanted to leave, always asked lots of questions, but never did it impact me in the way that I thought, this is what I want to do.
Okay.
Since the time I was little, I played with Monopoly money and wanted to be a bank investor. That was my plan.
That was surprising to me.
That was the, yeah.
Wow.
Wanted to work on Wall Street.
Yeah. You studied at Purdue to be an investment banker, then changed your major to pre-law. Wow, what a difference. But tell me the circumstances that led to that change.
Well, and that's kind of the hard part of my life that I reflect back on. So started out at Purdue, finance marketing, and again, wanted to be a bank investor. And then my junior year, at the very beginning of my junior year, was in a very bad car accident. My fiance at the time was killed, and it just struck me. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of took a couple weeks off and kind of reflected and thought about really what I wanted to do. And, you know, the natural thing that started happening was I was spending a lot of time with attorneys and really looking at family law attorneys and accidents and all of that stuff. And so decided then I wanted to go into pre-law and just kind of see what route that would take me. And so the very first day at Purdue, when I went back, I went down and saw my advisor and said I wanted to switch paths, and she tried to talk me out of it.
They always do.
They do. And instead, what we decided on was kind of a
compromise.
I changed my major, but kept all of my minors.
Okay.
So all of my minors are still business oriented, which was a nice kind of mix of things for me. It kind of gave me both sides.
What did the business side give you?
You know, still just kind of that finance and economic background that, you know, quite honestly, I still rely on a lot. So I still got my marketing minor, my finance minor, my econ minor. And again, I think it's been really helpful just as I've grown here at the Arc.
Sure. And let's talk about the whole situation after you kind of were in the pre-law major. You met Emily Hunt, who was a woman who unfortunately was injured in an amusement park accident. And it kind of brought you face to face with advocacy in the disability field for the first time. But what stood out to you that made the difference and made you think, while you were still representing the other side of the amusement park company, to, you know, Emily advocating for safety measures at amusement parks.
Yeah. You know, again, I think that's a very vivid day for me, too, just sitting across the table and having her and her dad talk about the tragedy that happened to them and how her life, too, was changed dramatically.
Do you know how old she was when it happened?
She was young. I don't. I want to say around 7 to 9. So wow. Very, very young child.
Yeah, okay.
And again, whose life was never going to be the same that she thought it was going to be. And I related to that to a certain degree.
Because you would add something.
Absolutely.
Happened that was not even close to what you wanted.
Right. And so I think just listening to her and her dad just talk about the impact of them. And here I was representing what I knew was the wrong side. And, you know, and again, I mean, nothing to say bad about businesses. They have, you know, the things that they need to do, too. But what they were requesting really was not ridiculous to be asking. And so it was that day when we, you know, talked and talked and talked and tried to negotiate. And our client decided not to budge. That was kind of the breaking point for me. That was when I decided I did not want to work for the law firm anymore and really didn't want to represent organizations that I couldn't feel strongly about.
What was their response? I mean, when you went back to your boss and said, we need a compromise here, what was the response? And why did you say, okay, I'm done? When did you say, okay?
Their exact words, because I remember this vividly, was, we're not going to compromise, and you're going to have to get used to arguing against things that you don't believe in.
Ooh, well.
So it was, again, that was the moment when I decided I was no longer going to work there.
Okay. Well, and then, I mean, your whole life to coming up to the ARC has kind of been shifts. Mm-hmm. There have been shifts from investment banker to pre-law to here to there. And then the issues of institutions came along and the treatment that was obviously done to people with disabilities and their treatment. That's when you called John Dickerson and said, what in the world's going on? And he just so happened, with the inner sense that he has, was looking for a lobbyist, and the rest is history. You're here. So what did that reaction of what in the world's going on help me help you
right. Understand
this? Yeah. What did it teach you about yourself?
Yeah, so I've always been a curious person. So whenever something doesn't make sense to me, I seek out information and try to figure it out. And so when I saw everything happening on the news, playing out in the newspaper, I was very close to Governor O'Bannon at the time. And so really kind of trying to be defensive of him because he was taking a lot of slack from families. And so saw John quoted in the paper, and that's who I contacted to say, this doesn't make any sense to me. Unfortunately, John, being the wonderful person that he is, just kind of embraced me and allowed me to ask all of those questions. And I think he respected the fact that I was curious, and I was curious because of no intentions. I was curious just because I wanted to learn. And then fortunately, he saw a little bit more, and you're right, the rest is history.
The rest is history. And it really tells you something about John that you can take someone who has no prior disability experience and just he kind of molded you and shaped you. Talk about how that all went and your relationship.
So this is when I get teary-eyed,
right? It's okay.
Yeah, I mean, I owe everything to him. I mean, he was he saw something in me throughout our conversations in those early days in 1998. And then since I've been here, you know, we've grown together.
It was 7 years in the whole making of you becoming executive director.
It was. I mean, he just has this wonderful sense about him of being able to recognize interests and talents. And every time he thought I was getting bored with things, he would, like, throw me a project. And it was so nice to see. You know, we complemented each other very well, and he allowed me to utilize those minors I talked about, my marketing, the economics, all of that stuff. And so, he was able to utilize some of my skills and grow the organization. And, you know, when I came to the ARC in 1998, I was the fifth employee.
Okay.
And now we have 24 plus. And so it's amazing to see what we've done.
And talk about you only stepped into this position 3 years ago, which now seems like a lifetime ago. But talk about things you've learned and things that have shaped you and how you keep it all refreshed. I mean, 20 years would be any job. You'd have to keep just reinventing yourself and reinventing your vision. So talk about how that has happened.
Yeah. I think we're really fortunate here. One, we have a board that is just amazing. And with every new person that comes onto the board or rolls off, there's new energy and new passion. And so it's easy to stay energized when you have new, fresh perspectives always come to the table. And that's the same thing with our staff as well. There's not a single person who's involved with the ARC, either on the board or on the staff, that's not committed to our mission. So as long as that stays in place, it's easy to keep the energy and the focus. Mm-hmm. And so we're just really blessed to have that.
Yeah. And talk about stories or advice that people have given you that you're like, oh, thank you. I mean, you still use to this day that has kept you here.
Yeah. John was not only my boss, he was my mentor. And so from the very beginning, nothing happens with one person. It takes a team.
It does.
It takes some true collaboration. Issues are hard. Being able to find good partners, whether it be at the state, other advocacy groups, family, self-advocates, it takes all of us. And John always was one to always remind me of families and self-advocates are the people that matter the most. Those are the most powerful voices. And so I continue to spend lots and lots of time in that space. Mm-hmm. And again, I think that's one reason why I stay so energized. And, yes, I've been here 20 years. But I don't feel like I've been here 20 years.
Yeah.
So it's
an enjoyable experience.
It is, and it's not really like a job. I mean, sure, some days are harder than others.
Some days you need more Starbucks
yes,
than usual.
Do. Most certainly. But again, it's those days where, I really try to reflect back on the positive things and the things that we've done and the changes we've made in this state. Again, not alone, with a lot of partners. But it's been good.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you this. My love and respect for you, and not only John for hiring me 8 years ago, but you for keeping me here. And my love for you just continues to grow as we work together. And those around you and those who meet you cannot be but a better person because they're around you. We love you so very, very much.
Thank you.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you very much. That means a lot.
I found a quote that I think is a great ending to this podcast and fits Kim. Basketball great Larry Bird said, "A winner is someone who recognizes his God-given talents, works his tail off to develop them into skills, and uses these skills to accomplish his goals." And Kim Dotson is a winner in my book. Thank you so much for listening today, everybody. Have a great day today. Bye-bye.